as you're being seated this morning, I was thinking this is our last day here at the PAC. We've been here just over 2 years in December. And it was a great transition place from our Ron Road campus for a few decades. And today it was kind of neat. It wasn't neat because we didn't have any screens for our last day. Imagine us having problems. They took a part that was very necessary. But I was able to get the director, the band director, and he came up and he bailed us out. And his name's Patrick Dorby. But I just thought we ought to stop and just pray for this school and for him and the kids that meet here. They have a huge impact on so many people. Let's just stop and pray with them. Father, thank you for today and for your love. And thank you for this place that you provided to be a home for us the last couple of years. And Father, we pray for the students that enter and exit every day, that they would get learning. And Father, that you would develop their brains and their minds and their hearts. But Lord, I pray, it's not a Christian school, but I pray that somehow they would see Christ. Lord, that you would draw kids into yourself. Lord, you are able to do great and mighty things. And Lord, we pray for them this school year that you would keep them safe and protect them and watch over them. And I pray for their administrators and their teachers, and their coming and their going. Lord, we look back on our years of being in middle school and high school, and oh Lord, we don't want to go back. And we just pray your grace over them. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to be here, but you always had a people that were on the move. So Lord, we move to Dalreda and we go with great joy in our hearts. Thank you for providing. Amen. Lord, thank you for the spirit in which they receive us. May we be good stewards, good witnesses, and may Christ be magnified in all things. And the church gathered and said,
amen.
Amen. Hey, that leads into this. Next Sunday, please do not come here. If you come here, you'll be surprised. There will be nobody here. But we're going to be at, put this in your phone if you haven't done this, 3817 Atlanta Highway. Many of you, the Withers, we've done meetings with you there. You know where it's at. Somebody that helped us move last week. Let me tell you, was God good? In between the monsoon last week, we got moved. It was so awesome. And so we're just now to the clock and the computer, just a little stuff. Ken's going, and Pat and them are going to get Linda's keyboard. But this is our address. It's at Dalreda Global. It's right there on Atlanta Highway, across the street from St. Bede's. When you turn into the front of the church, there's a parking lot, but come down that little side street, come to the back, there's a parking lot. We're going to have some people out there meeting you next week, and there's plenty of parking, and 3817, and as soon as you come up the little sidewalk, we're in the fellowship hall, and there'll be signs marking it, and you'll see our new place. It's really come together really, really nice. Jim was on our staying team this week. Good job, Jim. And man, I can't wait. Mason, your new home for you, and I call it Dan's Cave. Dan and Zach and everybody, we're going to have a great place there, so. That's next weekend. I can't believe that it's here. Right, let me do the next slide quickly. Women, we're not going to be at Jill's house. You had your last meeting today, so I said, wait a minute. We're not going to be in a house. So I need to call it the Power of a Praying Woman. Sunday morning, y'all have a room. You've been promoted. Number 108. It's the room right by Fellowship Hall. There's a nice room for you women to get in there and make noise and pray and worship Jesus.
Amen.
And I just put in there 9:15. If y'all want to change that, have at it. But service starts at 10. Hey, isn't that great, women? Don't you feel like you got elevated? Yeah. All right. So, anyway, just wanted you to know that. Next Sunday, our new beginning again. Okay. Nick, here we go. You put your hands together. I'll do that, okay? Hey, thank you for surgery. It went well. I just continue to get cut, but the good thing, good margins, clean, and Jesus is my healer. I pray for you. So, we're grateful for that. Okay. Next slide. See what comes up. Well, that's kind of cool. Oh, yes, that is a good slide. Look at this. Thank you. I forgot about this. C.S. Lewis was a phenomenal writer. I've got a book of his quotes. But I like this. Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. What? Fake it. No. Just act it as if you did. That's a great quote. And look at the next picture. Hey, look at the two of our own. Y'all made the highlights. I think this was the 40 homeless bags that y'all packed in women's study the other day. And just wanted to give y'all credit. How about put your hands together and praise God for all our women that did that? Yeah. What a good looking group there. All right. Okay, now you go to the next slide. I surprised myself. Oh, the king is coming. Here we go. I'm finishing up the prophetic series, and we're going to launch into new stuff next week, and I'll continue to do prophetic updates. I'm going to give you some really neat things today that will help you stay in touch, but the king is coming. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16, maybe some. I know there'll be other verses. Hey, does this thing come up? Do we know?
Yeah,
right. Oh, wait a minute. All you got to do is pull it. That's amazing. Perfect. That's amazing. I was wondering if I would get on the floor and sit down here. Huh? Wow. You know what? I want to be a good witness, but I sure like to have this one. I thought about taking it. No. I won't do that. All right. So we've been going through this series talking about the events of the last days. And how many of you believe that we are living in the last days? We are. This is the church age in 2024. And things are, the calendar is speeding up. Things are really happening. You can go to SoundCloud. You can go to the website. And you can get all these messages. And a lot of you say you're having to go back and re-listen. So that's good. Over in Titus, though, we see in Titus 2, verses 11 through 13. I want you to hear these words. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Is that a verse filled with eternal hope? It is. We look up. We look forward to Christ's return. Is he promised that he'll come again for his church and in the great rapture, which we covered a few weeks ago, and then also in the second coming that I'm going to talk about today, that's when we get to come back with King Jesus, which is just awesome. We get to come in his army. But as you read through Scripture, there's really two threads that kind of weave through the Bible. And one is the scarlet, you want to write this down, this is extra, the scarlet thread of redemption. You see redemption all through the Old Testament, of course, in the New Testament being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But and really, that's our history, the thread of redemption. But then there's also this golden thread. And the golden thread wouldn't be the redemption story. It would be the second coming of Christ. And I've talked about how many times the second coming is alluded to and spoken of in the Scriptures. That God is so clear that 25% of our Bible is probably prophetic in nature. That God, the first time we had the incarnation, that means God becomes man. Christ becomes in human form. And the next, so we have the incarnation, and this is really the coronation. Because when Christ comes the second time, it's not in simplicity. It's not as a baby. It's not with human needs. It's not to be scourged and beaten and spit upon. And he's not to be nailed on a cross and to be buried. But he's coming as a what? A reigning, holy, righteous, royal king and judge. And we read in Scripture, we love the Gospels because it talks about the compassion of Jesus. How many of you like reading about the compassion of Jesus? Makes you feel good, doesn't it? Oh, I love the compassion of my Christ. But how about when he comes a second time? He doesn't have the eyes of compassion. There's fire, there's passion, there's the royalty, the judge, the one that comes to avenge, to make all things right. And he's been forewarning all through the Scripture. And so he says, here's what it tells us all through Scripture. Live in such a way that your life somehow draws people to Christ. That you live your life in a way that somehow people see that you're different. That your countenance, your joy, your speech, your character, your ability to forgive. How many of you think we fall really short, though? How many wish you would never sin? Oh, man, yes. And you blow it. And don't you love those words? I am sorry. Please forgive me. You know we're not going to say that anymore in heaven. You're not going to be great. You're not going to be messing up anymore. You're not going to have a need of being made right with God. We'll be with him in his presence. We'll see him as he is. So he just tells us all through Scripture, be watchful, be ready. The great word in my circles of theology is called eschatology, is the end times. And that's what we've been talking about in these days, and about focusing on the primary, just being ready. Like, you know when you go on a trip, how many of you start packing like a week early? Raise your hand. You start packing a week early. Wait a minute. Hold them high. I want to see. Okay. Dadgum, y'all just ruined my illustration. It looked like it was all women, and Pat did this. And then Charles thought he'd want to chime in. Okay, well, I don't pack early. I kind of wait to the end. You women, I know y'all trying to match your shirts and your pants and your blouse and your shoes and your purse and all that. You know, what us guys do, most of us?
Throw it in there
and get it done. Okay, all right. But you get ready. You prepare. And so it's important that we are ready for his coming. Because the Bible says he comes like a thief in the night. We don't know when the thief's coming. If you knew when the thief was coming, what would you do? You would show him your Smith & Wesson. You would show, yeah, listen to me. You would show him your gun. You would show him your force. But I can't imagine you like, man, I can't sleep at night. I stay awake awaiting that somebody might break in my home. That'd be a horrible way to live. But we do need to always be ready for the coming of Christ. So he comes again, and I can talk about this forever. Have you ever noticed this? When, here's what happens. The other day I was talking to a guy. He's not here today, but he's in my small group that I teach in our neighborhood. And he was telling me, he says, my wife's on a little trip with her girlfriends. Y'all know where I'm going with this, don't you? And he says, my wife is coming home tomorrow. Therefore, I cannot have lunch or I cannot have anything to do with you. In other words, that was a code to say, my house is in shambles. It's a mess. I'm getting ready because she's coming home. Because she told him. Now, what if his wife had decided, I miss you so much, honey. I just want to come home early. And she came home early. Busted. And I tell you that because I think about, man, how many of you, somebody's coming over to your house. Your house is kind of messy. And then somebody comes. What do? Clean. And you start cleaning. You start putting stuff in drawers. You start making, everybody's like,
turn out the lights and lock the door.
Turn the lights out and lock the door. And you're like, Pat, you're messing up all my illustrations. And you're like, no, man, you want to be prepared. Because the king is coming. That whole thing about Mary and Martha. Martha goes in a muddle. She's in there frying chicken and cooking, and Mary's in there worshiping Jesus at his feet. And he says, Martha, Martha, you have not chosen the right thing. But Mary did. Mary chose to worship. So here, I tell you all that story for this reason. I just want us to be ready, because we don't know when he's going to appear. He's going to come. And as I told you, he just comes so far, and then he raptures us. The Thessalonians says we're caught up in the air. Man, I know you're saying, Pastor, you're talking about this like every single week. Somehow you bring this back in, because that's the great hope of the follower of Jesus, that God comes to rescue his own. Write down the word salvation. You know what the word salvation means? Deliver. God has delivered you from sin in Jesus Christ and saved you. And the second time, he comes to rescue us from this world. How many want to be rescued from this world? Amen. Oh my goodness. I mean, is the world going just like you want it? I mean, is everything just happy? You like how everything's happening? Wait till I mess you up at the end of the service. You won't feel that way. Okay. Matthew 24, 27 through 31. Let me read this scripture. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible, even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Whenever there is a carcass, there vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give its light, or will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the one end of the heavens to the other. See, the second coming of Christ is going to be glorious. It's going to be majestic. I don't know if you watched the Super Bowl the other day. Whether you did or not, I'm not trying to split the church over this, and you watched Usher or whatever, and you watch all these people, and they have all these halftime shows, and they spend millions of dollars. And I got to tell you, I've been thinking about some of these commercials. Some people have been wasting their money. Some of these commercials are lame, can I just say? Yeah. But when this next appearing comes, oh, it is going to be the show of shows, is it not? I mean, it's going to be like, wow. It's going to be, I mean, he's coming for believers, unbelievers. It's cataclysmic. He's going to usher in the millennium. And the millennium is a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And what an event that's going to be. So it's this time that the king comes. I see it as this coordination when he's rightfully seen. And he's rightfully recognized as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everybody will know. Everybody goes, well, I know. You'll know. We'll know when King Jesus comes. There was a guy, I used to listen to him. He had this really high-pitched trumpet. His name's Phil Driscoll. Anybody ever listen to Phil Driscoll? That guy could play a trumpet, and I don't know if he's living now or not. It would almost be piercing to your ears. When this trumpet plays, do you think everybody's going to hear? Susan, you're not going to go, I don't have my hearing aid in, King Jesus. You're going to hear. I think he's going to tickle your eardrum. It's going to come. So the world's waiting. You know what? The world's waiting for the dropping of the other shoe. Isn't that a good thought? The other shoe's going to drop. And when that shoe drops, time will change forever. See, God doesn't operate in our continuum of space and time like we know. He's above it. He's before it. He's in it. He's after it. He's all things. He's the Ancient of Days. I mean, there's so many names that Jesus has. I read one thing, and I haven't marked them all down, but they said there's probably 700 names alluded to God in the Scripture. And there's a name that we look at today, we don't even have a word for it. Only Jesus knows that name. You know, wow. So let's get ready to fill in this together. Man, I missed my little table, but that's okay. I'll sit it right here. So, as we continue through this, I want you to see this, because we're all on a collision course. I know you're going, I don't like the word collision. That sounds like I need to call Alex Renard. No, you don't need to call a lawyer. You need a lawyer. You need an advocate. His name is Jesus. He's the perfect defender. He needs to be your advocate. No defender other than him can help you. All right, look at the first one. His coming is anticipated by prophecy. I love that. And all through the Scripture, what I've been trying to do with you for these 7 weeks is prophetically show you from the Word of God that proclaims the coming of Christ again. And that where he was beat up, unmerciful with the centurions and the soldiers, and how they just did great damage to our Jesus. Now he comes back to execute judgment. And it's going to be a sober day. So, listen to what the Scripture says there in Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 19 and hear the word of the Lord. Starting there about verse, I'm going to start in verse 9. I said 10, but as I was rereading this again and again, I just came across this first part and I love it. Verse 9. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And the church said, amen. That's the table I keep telling y'all about, the table that I want you to come sit at, the table of the Lord Jesus. And he says, blessed are those that are invited to that table. And he added, these are true words that come from God. But now look at verse 10. And then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you, your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only who? God. Underline that, square that off, circle that, highlight that in your Bible. Worship only the Lord God. The Antichrist will want to be worshipped. Satan, the beast, wants to be worshipped. Man today wants to be worshipped. There is one to be celebrated, and his name is Jesus Christ. So worship only God. For the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Look at verse 11. And then I saw heaven open. You have this great vision. And a white horse, oh my goodness, was standing there. Did you notice he didn't go, and a donkey appeared? Jesus came humbly with a donkey the first time. He got an upgrade. He got a 2.0. He got a 3.0. He got a 5.0. He got a white horse, okay? Its rider was named. Look what his name is. What's his name? Faithful and true. Wow. For he judges fairly and he wages a righteous war. His eyes were like what? Flames of fire. And his head, on his head were many crowns, and the name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. Notice that. The armies of heaven followed him. Who is that?
Believers.
The believers. We follow. Mm-hmm. How many of you like to ride horses? If you don't, get over it. You're going to ride one. You're going to ride the horse of heaven. Don and I went riding horses years ago in Colorado. Those, and they were majestic and strong. And we got to go riding in the snow one day. And the snow was up to the belly on those animals. And they were so strong and muscular. And we climbed a mountain with it. It was incredible, that beast. I was so proud of my wife. She's over there taking the reins. And she rode her horse. And I rode my horse. And we're riding up the trail. And they made a comment before we started. They go, now, sometimes the horses get hot. And when they do, they're going to decide to lay down and roll over in the snow. And of all the horses on that Colorado excursion, of all the king's men and all the king's horses, only one decided to roll over, and it was my wife's. Praise God, praise God. She was okay. That horse went down, she rode with it. And what it was, I mean, when we got back, those horses had worked so hard, they were just sweating. But this horse, these horses don't roll over. These horses are mighty. All right, so they're dipped. Dress. I'm getting so excited about the story. I got to get back here and dip the Word of God. All right, look what happens here. Verse 15. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. Does that sound like a wimpy king? That sounds like a king that is completely in charge. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God the Almighty and let justice flowing from a winepress. And on his robe at his thigh was written the title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. And then I saw an angel standing in the sun. He goes on and on about this. But I read that and you go, man, is that in the scripture? It is. We just read it out of Revelation 19. So here it is. It's a clear witness, a prophecy. Look at the second one. His coming will interrupt hostility. There'll be great hostility in the end. And when he comes back, he interrupts a battle. You know what battle Jesus comes back and interrupts? Battle of Armageddon at Megiddo. The nations. And Jesus comes to take over. He comes to conquer that. Oh, wow. What a king he is. And in this text, this language written here is so rich. And his penetrating gaze as he comes back and he looks. And with his mouth as a sword, it destroys the nations. Does that sound like somebody that is all-powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent, all in charge, a reigning, holy, just king? It is the Son of God. Wow, Jesus. I love this. You know what I wrote down here, if you want to write this down? It sounds like a crown of rulership. It sounds like a crown of ownership. It sounds like a crown of sovereignty. It sounds like a crown of authority. It sounds like a crown of someone that is in complete control. And he is. And he will not have to go to the UN. He will not have to ask permission of anybody. He will come again, just as he said he would, as a conquering king. You know what's sad is I've been preaching. No, it's not sad that I've been preaching. I hope it's been joyful. I've been preaching for 42 years. I got to watch how I phrase my words here. But it's sad that I've not preached more prophetic messages about this. So as my tenure is it gets, I'm not saying I'm checking out tomorrow, but as it gets more down here, I just get more excited about the coming again of Christ, the second coming. I think in the 60s and 70s before I met Christ, there seemed to be a lot of activity on this. And then it seems like over the decades, I feel like we've just kind of backed away from the second coming of Christ. It's like Satan lulled the church to sleep. I've come to raise a prophetic voice that the Lord is coming for his chosen. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to hear this. Okay, so you're like, all right. So he comes with armies of heaven. I wrote this down. He's a warrior king. I like that. A warrior king. That's who Jesus is. You say, well, he's a compassionate king. He is. He's a loving king. He's a faithful king. He's a true king. We can do all the things Jesus is. But he's also a warrior. And a warrior does what? They take charge. They battle. Jesus battles for us right now at the throne of heaven. How many of you are glad that Jesus goes to the Father this morning and he makes intercession for every one of us as children of God? He battles on our behalf right now. He was battling for me with this cancer, I believe, the other day. I really believe he was. He's in complete charge. You say, well, Pastor, what happens when bad things happen? He's still reigning on his king, on his throne. He's still ruling. Right. He's still to be praised. He's to be praised in the storm. He's to be praised in the sunshine. The name of the Lord is to be praised at all times, church.
Amen.
You ought to break out song right now. I'm so blessed by Cain. I love that because we are blessed. We're the children of God. We're the children of the Most High King. So look at the third. His coming will be seen universally. I like that. And then I saw an angel standing in the sun, verse 17. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. But he comes and it's universal and everybody sees it's physically, it's visibly. And he comes here to the Mount of Olives and he returns in that way. He comes back. I can tell you about the Eastern Gate. I've already told you about all that. But his return, his touchdown, this is a real touchdown, okay? When Jesus touches, I think it's pretty funny. When he touches down this time, it's a touchdown guy. Okay. His landing will be perfect. It'll be for the church, for the bride of Christ. You remember when you got married? You got married? That was a good day, wasn't it? And you were there maybe in a sanctuary, and your bride, and you were the groom, or the guys were the groom. And you know, and they're coming for you, and you see the mystery, the holiness of the moment, oh, that's pale compared to this, to King Jesus coming for his bride. He loves the church. I think Jesus weeps over the church today of what we've done to the church, how we've really not believed in fully his word so we can believe. So look at the fourth one quickly. His coming results in humility. He's a humble king. In all these names of God, and one is he's a humble servant, he's a humble king. But he comes and he's faithful and true and he's a king of kings and he humbles himself to come. But at this time he comes and as he descends, that humility is God exalts it. The Son is exalted above all things. And that's who he is. You know, the scripture teaches that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. How he unleashes the grace of God. He is God. And his grace and his mercy is unleashed. But this time he comes in execution of judgment. He comes as reigning. He comes as ruler. I I don't even do it justice with my vocabulary. My vernacular won't cover these events. They're cataclysmic. It's a vision. It's powerful. But listen to this. Fifth. His coming ushers in tranquility. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword with it. He should strike the nations. And he just takes over and he rules. And justice is done instantly. A lot of times we cry out, I want justice. I want justice. Well, you want justice for your situation. Jesus comes for justice for all things. And finally, complete justice will be known. Wow. God will avenge his own. And those that have oppressed the name of God, that have oppressed the Christian church, that have oppressed the things of God, they will be dealt with. That'll be a sad commentary. That'll be a time to mourn. But that'll be a time of victory for when this king comes. Because this king comes, it celebrates he comes on this white stallion, on this white horse. In the purity of being a holy king. And as he comes, listen to Revelation 1:7. Write it down, Revelation 1:7. Look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. So unbelievers, believers, we all see. And all the peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. So there's this great revelation that comes to us. And it's been previously unknown, but now it is known in completion. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:52. You've read this great passage from the Apostle Paul. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and they will be changed. Can we just say hallelujah?
Amen.
Isn't that awesome, man? We're going to be changed. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And he comes as his sovereign king, and he conquers. So as he comes visually, but listen to this. Jesus, this is extra. Jesus comes in a victorious manner. He's not nailed to a cross this time, folks. He comes rightfully as who he is. Listen to this. Coming out of his mouth, sharp sword, strike the nations. He rules with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, I read it earlier, I read it again. He is his name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What do you think we're going to do when we see that? Wow. That's going to be worship. The King is here. The King is coming. He always said he would. I mean, you know, it's not like Jesus is going, I was just kidding. He's not kidding. He's coming, church. And so I get thrilled. I get moved. I hope your heart is moved by the things of the kingdom, by this messianic kingdom that apostasy and rebellion comes to an end. We get resurrected. At the second coming, the Antichrist, the beast, all this, Satan gets cast into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Amen. He gets bound. Our God is coming for his church. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. He's coming for those that are saved. So what do, man? We share our hope in Christ. I can give you so many scriptures. Zechariah 14:4, 1 John 3:2, Matthew 24:36. You're like, Pastor, don't do that. I can give you right now like 75 scriptures. If you want them, I'll give them to you later. But I'm not going to read them. You're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. But it's amazing. So what do we do about the coming of the King? Here it is. I want you to write these words down. You got room. I want you to write this down and remember it. Then I'm going to give you something real practical. Number one. Learn of it. We cannot afford to be ignorant any longer as believers in Christ. And the church said, amen. I've got to learn about prophecy. I've got to learn about the coming of Christ. I've got to learn about prophetic and end time events. Number two, look for it. Look for it. Look up. Your redemption draweth near. We're not looking for some prophecy to be fulfilled. Man, so many have been fulfilled. Everything's been done that has to be done for Christ to come again. Christ can come in any minute. Any second, in a nanosecond, right now in the twinkling of an eye, he could appear. Wow. You're like, Pastor, I got to get ready. Get ready now. Okay. So learn of it. Look for it. Look at the third one. Long for it. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we pray that prayer at ball games and events and churches and rituals. And it's a great prayer. But Jesus says, I want you to long for my kingdom. It's going to be ushered in. It's coming. And look at the fourth one. It's another L. Live for it. Be faithful until Jesus comes again. Just be a faithful witness to Christ. So, so important that we do that today. Now, here's what I want to show y'all. And I promised you this a few weeks ago. Now, I want to go ahead and set you up. I'm going to give you something, and you don't have to be right. You can just circle it, make little notes. If you look at your teaching guide, I want to apologize that all will listen to my voice. Email me, keith@christccm.net. I will be glad to send this to you. But sources to stay informed. You see that little box at the end of your teaching guide? This right here will give you an overload. How many want an overload? You're going to get one if you want it. This is not slanted news with the secular version of them telling you what they want you to know. This is right out of Jerusalem. I mean, man, this is a pretty cool source. Look at it. The RosenbergReport.tv. You can read there. You can watch it on YouTube and different things. If you just Google, put it in your browser and go there, you will be amazed what you can learn from some experts in the land, okay? Look at the next one. AllIsrael.com. A tremendous site. I start reading these articles, I get all caught up in it, and it's just amazing what our regular outlets did not tell us. Look at the third one. The jpost.com. Guess what the J stands for? Jesus. Jerusalem. Well, that'd be good. Yeah. It's not, it's Jesus. Wrong. It's the jerusalempost.com. But jpost.com, And this last one, Donna introduced me to a while back. Donna, is this guy an amazing teacher?
Amir.
Amir. Are you familiar with him?
Yes, yes.
BeholdIsrael.org. I just wanted you to see some of these sites that you could do some study, reflection on your own, and you'd go, wow, Pastor, I'm learning so much, and I've got my Bible here, and I got a cup, of course you got a cup of coffee, you have to have that. I don't know if coffee goes to heaven or not, but you got, but you got that, and you can get on your computer or your tablet or whatever, and you can just begin to study. Hey, has this been a good series for us to learn more about the second coming, the prophetic times in which we live? And I've just scratched the surface. I'm trying to learn every day about it. I want to continue to study. And I just felt like so Christ comes visibly, he comes victoriously, he comes in a vengeful manner, but he comes because he promised he would. He came the first time, didn't he? Amen. We celebrate it every year, Christmas. But man, I look forward to this coming. When Christ comes for the bride, when he comes for his church. God, thank you for this study. Thank you for our times together. And Lord, we pray that we would draw close to Jesus, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. May we not have fear, but may we place our faith completely in you. Jesus, you are Lord.
Amen.
May we say, Jesus, you are my Lord, my Savior, my hope, my help, and I want to add my healer. You live forevermore. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.